Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here till midnight, and I hope you'll be able to join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd sure like to hear from you tonight. Our telephone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless, use the program for your glory. Lord, if there's somebody that's struggling, somebody that's questioning the truths of the Bible, maybe some of the things that we talk about, you can use your spirit to minister to them and give them understanding and insight. And we just pray that you can use the things that we say to point them to Christ as their personal Savior. Bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, coming to you tonight here, and what a beautiful day we've had here, and a beautiful weekend. I mean, it's just been something else. I kind of think that in a minute there that I wasn't in Northeast Ohio there for a while because, you know, usually we don't get this many nice days in a row here in Northeastern Ohio, especially this time of year, and it's just been beautiful for most of the week, and this weekend looks like we've got some good days coming up. And just gorgeous outside right now. Flowers are blooming, and trees and shrubs are blooming, all these things. And, you know, it's one of those times that you see the Lord's handiwork, and you're reminded of the new birth of, the nature around us here. And it's just an exciting time, and seeing all the changes every day. And it kind of makes you think about the Bible and the new birth that you can have in Jesus Christ when you trust Him as your personal Lord and Savior, believing that Jesus Christ shed His blood upon the cross as He suffered and died and took our place to pay for our sin, and then He's buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. And when somebody by faith calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, and they're born again, their sins are washed away, they've received that new birth, and a lot of changes take place in the life of a new believer. And we grow, and we continue to see changes, and we see, the things the Lord does for us in our life. And it's just exciting. You know, so that kind of reminds me when I see, spring springing up all around us, and the idea of what God does in the light of a believer. Well, of course, there's other things going on in the world today, and other than springtime and harvest, those things keep going in a cyclical fashion, of course, but there's certainly unrest in the world today, and if you've been following the news much at all, certainly there's been some escalation over in the Middle East. Israel has made several strikes against Syria and targeting some arms shipments to Hezbollah. And there's been some threats of reprisal back from Syria. In fact, Syria's deputy foreign minister, Faisal Miqdad, said earlier today that the strike at Syria, which would have been overnight their time, would have been Saturday night, early Sunday morning their time, represented, in his words, a declaration of war by Israel. And we also see that the Russian and Iranian media have been predicting that events there in Syria, between Syria and Israel, are going to escalate. In fact, there's some Russian sources who are speculating that the Syrian president, Bashar Assad, is on the verge of possibly declaring war against Israel. Now, as one guy pointed out at church tonight, All of Israel's neighbors pretty much have declared war on them quite some time ago. They're all working toward the end of the destruction of the Jewish state. They all want to see him destroyed, and they want to see all of the area currently under the sway of the Jewish state of Israel, under the rule of Islam, with no Jewish presence whatsoever. And that's why all these land for peace deals are bound to fail. I mean, they're just bound to fail. As we've said before, the state of Jordan, that was a land for peace deal back in the 1920s in order to, as they were talking about, establishing a Jewish state which would have encompassed all of present-day Israel and present-day Jordan. But due to pressure from Arab interests within the British government, who was in charge of the deal at the time, and also to help quell Arab unrest in that area, they decided to carve off about three-quarters of the land set aside for Jewish homeland for another Arab state. This is after they drew the borders for the surrounding Arab states. And it was supposed to be a land for peace deal. And if they just cut off this land to or gave this land over for another Arab state, they'd be able to live in peace with the Jews. And you can see how well that's worked out since the 1920s. And so today we have, we have Hezbollah assisting the Syrian government fighting against the Syrian rebels, which they themselves are made up of many different groups, and there's some al-Qaeda groups that are prominent in that. And, of course, both the government of Syria and the Syrian rebels, all of them would want to see Israel gone. And none of them certainly are going to be too friendly to us in the long run, because we're not an Islamic government ourselves, and we've been a supporter of Israel. So no matter who wins over there, Israel and the United States lose. And along with that, of course, the Hezbollah in Lebanon has been stationed along some of the border area there on the north of Israel. And, of course, the Iranians have sent in a few thousand troops, and many of them have been stationed along the border between Syria and Israel, Syria and Jordan. And so you got quite a powder keg building there. And the Syrian government forces have been trying to move some of their chemical weaponry and some sophisticated missile systems that Iran has supplied. They've been trying to move them from Syria over to Lebanon to supply the Hezbollah forces. And unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, it's unfortunate for them, but what's happening is that Israel has now several times taken out some of these shipments that they've tried to go in to Lebanon with to supply the Hezbollah troops. And that's what happened here. In fact, there's in a Russian source, Russia Today news source, claimed that the Israeli rocket strikes that would have been early Sunday morning in Syria caused heavy Syrian casualties, and rumored that as many as 300 members of the Syrian army's 501st unit dead, and 100 sent off to hospitals in Damascus. And that 501st unit is the unit that operates the chemical weapon facility there in the Barza district north of Damascus there. And you can see where they want to take that out. The Syrians have been using chemical weapons, Syrian government, against the Syrian rebels. And it's Israel's fear that those chemical weapons eventually are going to be used against Israel, either by Syria or probably more likely by Hezbollah. So it's a statement of it's defense on their part. Well, the Bible says we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And, of course, we know the peace of Jerusalem is only going to come after the Lord Jesus Christ comes at the end of the tribulation and sets up his millennial reign there out of Israel, and he will rule over the whole world at that time. But we do know that there's some things that are going to happen. We know and we understand that there's the prophecy that Damascus will be destroyed, and it appears that Israel will be the one that does it. And of course, that's in Isaiah chapter 17. And if you read the chapter, it appears that Damascus, which is the one of the oldest continually inhabited cities in the world, which has never been destroyed completely, it's going to be taken away from being a city, and it shall be ruinous heap, it says in Isaiah 17:1. And also, there's going to be some severe damage inflicted on Israel at that time. And could we be seeing the setup for that Isaiah 17 prophecy? Possibly. It's quite possible. Not saying that it is, but it is quite possible. And as Christians, we need to be aware of what the Bible says, and we need to be aware of the fact that the Bible does indeed prophesy that Damascus will be destroyed. And so when we look at what's happening in the world today, we certainly, as Christians, ought not to let these things take us by surprise. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. If you've got questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. And I believe we have, it looks like, David on the line. And David, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Thank you, sir. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Things are great. Thank you. Yeah, when I was listening to you talk, I was just thinking about what the Lord said, you know, how wicked we really are, you know, how people are wicked, and it grieved them at one point that he even made man.
Right, so, right. Noah's flood.
Yeah, and I mean, and here we are back in that situation again. And it's so...
Well, I was going to say, it's not surprising, because the Bible says that when the Lord comes back, it'll be as in the days of Noah, didn't he?
Amen, brother, amen. Yeah. And to say, the only hope we got is that Holy Spirit gift that he's given us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit, and we don't have to act like that. We don't have to be like that. That's just a wonderful gift.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Just to say, I wanted to share it, but wasn't for... the Holy Spirit, we'd be acting the same way. You know what I mean? We'd be wanting to kill everybody, too, to protect our own interests, you know, whatever. I don't know what they think. You know, what killing other people, what's that going to do, you know?
And it all depends on what you're brought up believing, because, you know, one of the when you look at the situation in the Middle East, you know, as much as our government tries to ignore the Islamic issue, and even when you look at the Boston Marathon bombers and some of these other Islamic terrorist attacks in Europe and attempted attacks in Europe and America and different places, you know, you're dealing with a mindset where you have a holy book, the Quran, that encourages its followers to terrorize the unbelievers. And to strike them, you know, strike them on the neck in the Quran means to cut the head off. And it talks about, bringing terror to them. And so, you know, that's where they're coming from. In fact, I've said this before. I've even preached a message on it. If I were a Muslim and I believed, if I approached the Quran the same way I approached the Bible, then I'd probably be one of these jihadis myself, because if I'm going to live by what the book says, that's what it says. Just like the reason I'm a fundamental Bible-believing Christian is because I believe that that's what the book says you ought to be, and that's what I try to be. But that's where it's coming from. And when we leave the religious aspect of it out of it, you know, people can't figure out why they're doing these things.
I'm just so glad that I am not have the documentation of hate, no, and I don't have to live with that in my heart.
Exactly, and see, that's what they have in the Quran. It's a doctrine of hate, because the Quran's a satanic book, and it's.
I was just trying to get to the peace part, you know. Mm. I mean, Jesus is the Prince of Peace,
right?
And he gives you the spirit of peace, where these people are trying to, like you say, get you scared and whatever, not. He gives you the peace to overcome that. And if you're afraid of them people, you should check your faith, you know, because fear is like the absence of faith. And what do you have your faith in? Do you have the true faith in Jesus? If you do, you won't be scared of that evil. Well,
exactly, because God does not give us a spirit of fear. And the Bible says here, I just happened to look down, see this in Philippians chapter 4 while we're talking here. And in Philippians chapter 4, starting verse 7, the Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And that's a tremendous reassurance there.
Hey,
it's the peace of God, and it passes all understanding. It's something the world cannot understand. And we can see events that seem to possibly be spiraling more and more out of control in the Middle East and threats of war, rumors of war. And yet at the same time, we can have peace in the midst of the storm because our hearts and minds are stayed on Christ. And we think about Jesus and what he's done for us. He gives us peace.
Yes, sir, he does. He gives us peace in our own soul. And he gives us this peace we can share with others, you know, in the love.
Absolutely.
Instead of the hate. Oh, it's so wonderful. The Holy Spirit's just a wonderful gift. That's wonderful. I'm just so happy.
Well, I'm thankful that God gave me the gift of the Holy Spirit when I got saved. And you know, that's just that's something when we think about it. Because in the Old Testament, they didn't you know, receive the Holy Spirit like we do, you know, this side of the cross. The Holy Spirit would come upon people and leave people. And, you know, I'm thankful that God promised, Jesus himself promised that when he departed, he would send us another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, of course, and that he would come upon us. And the Bible says that when he came upon us, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. In fact, that he sealed us until the day of redemption. And I'm so thankful that I have the Holy Spirit, and every single person that's listening tonight that's put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they know, based on God's Word, they can know that they not only have the forgiveness of sins, but they have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. They are, as the Bible says, the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God dwells in their heart in the person of the Holy Spirit and has sealed them until the day of redemption. And that's a tremendous reassuring thought.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So, but again, we do look at things happening in the world around us and we use them to give people an answer, you know, for the hope that's in us, the reason for the peace that we have. And rather than be fearful, we should rejoice knowing that we have a home in heaven. And I look at these things and I look at these prophetic statements, such as in Isaiah 17, talking about the burden of Damascus and the coming destruction of Damascus and these things. And when I see things setting up, you know, on the one hand, of course, there's, you know, the understanding that many people are going to be injured, lives lost, and things of that nature. But I also know that in the long run, this is going to result in fewer people dying and fewer people suffering than if God did nothing at all. And God is going to bring this world through a period of tribulation. That's yet future. And when he come out of that period of tribulation, Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem and rule over the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it'll usher in a utopian period that this world has never seen before and never been able to see before, because with sinful man ruling over us, we're never going to be able to see what God has for us.
Oh, yes. What a beautiful trade in that is, you know?
Right.
Up this world to go to that one. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. But the other thing is all these other people who just don't get it or are blinded. And they're headed to destruction. And you say Isaiah 17? It talks about pretty much the total destruction of Damascus, doesn't it?
Yes, Isaiah 17 starts out, "The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap." And then the very last verse of that chapter, verse 14, says, "And behold, at evening time tide trouble, and before morning he is not." This is the portion of them that spoil us and the lot of them that rob us. And what that verse is saying is that Damascus, it will be there in the evening, and in the morning it won't be there anymore.
Wow.
And we have a capability of doing that today.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, it all takes is a few well-placed bombs of the nuclear nature, and we certainly could see Damascus become a ruinous heap overnight. And what conditions would cause that to happen? Obviously, if they struck Israel with chemical weapons, that's a potential situation. If they struck Israel with some kind of devastating attack that resulted in a number of deaths in northern Israel in particular due to chemical agents, I think we could very easily see the city of Damascus there in the evening and not there in the morning, because Israel would retaliate. One of the things that's interesting with these strikes against Israel lately, there's indications that they did not let the United States know in advance that they were going to do these strikes here the last couple of days. They are just looking at it saying, you know what, we have to do this. President Obama said if Syria uses chemical weapons, that's a red line, and we're not going to stand for it. And so when the Syrians used chemical weapons, and everybody knows that they did, the Syrian government, the Syrian rebels, the Israeli the Israelis do, the Russians do, the Iranians do, the Hezbollah and the Lebanese do, the French and the British do. And now the president is saying, well, it's not 100% clear who used them or if it was really something that wasn't accidental. And he's hemming and he's hawing. And so Israel has basically said, we can't wait around. We cannot take the chance that these missiles that Iran has shipped to Syria, that the Syrians were trying to put in the hands of the Hezbollah forces that were going to go on the border of Lebanon and Israel and have the capability of reaching Tel Aviv and elsewhere in Israel with possibly chemical warheads. Israel said, we cannot take the chance on that. We've got to act. Whether or not the United States cares, whether or not the United States helps, we've got to act. It's a matter of survival. It's not a matter of getting a bloody nose. It's a matter of survival. And so they've been acting, and it's time will tell where this will go, if it will go much further. Dave, we're running out of time here on this half of the program. Anything else you want to say real quick before we reach the break here?
And at one point, like you're saying, if Obama wasn't willing to back up his own words, well, let Israel took care of that. They backed up his words for him. And that's what they showed her. If he doesn't want to do what he's saying, well, they don't need him right now. They've got the true God. He might not have the true God.
Well, and here's the thing with Israel. Israel, and this is where people try to object that Israel is not special in God's eyes. The nation of Israel is a secular nation right now. Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones, he was commanded to prophesy over them by God, and the bones came together and flesh came on the bones and all of that, but there was no spirit of life in them. That's Israel today. A powerful army. The bones have come together, and muscle and flesh have come upon the bones, and they're standing there, but they're without life. They don't know the true God right now. They don't know Jesus Christ as their Redeemer, as their Messiah. Now, that'll come in the future. We know that Paul said that there's coming a day, and I believe it'll be the midpoint of the tribulation when the Antichrist goes into the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem and declares himself to be God. And that's the day that Paul said in Romans chapter 11, where he said in verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I shall take away their sins." And we've got that also in the future to come to as well. And so we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bible says we ought to. God's got a special plan for that area of the world. God's got a special plan for the Jewish people. But that plan is contingent upon them putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, just like it is for you and I. And if we come from a Gentile background or a Jewish background, the only way we can get to heaven is by recognizing Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the Messiah, and putting our faith and trust in Him. And there's no other name given among under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." And it's an exciting time that we live in. We've got a tremendous message. Dave, thank you for your call. We're coming up on the break here, and I think we just got just a little bit here. I couldn't see the time in there.
Right. And peace be with you, too,
well,
sir.
Well, thank you very much, and God bless. Thank you for your call. And we've got another half hour of our program coming up, and hope that you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here tonight. Let me give you those telephone numbers, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'll be on till midnight tonight. So God bless. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you till midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call, 888 877-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And, of course, we're brought to you tonight by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And certainly Frank's Antiques, if you're looking for a unique gift, looking for an engagement ring, looking for a wedding ring, just looking for some jewelry of any old kind, or looking for old military collectibles, old coins, even the kitchen sink. If you're on old kitchen sink, you can probably find it there. He's got a little bit of everything. That's Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. And, of course, we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is the home of the homemade pizza. And they have, in addition to pizza, they've got Lebanese food, they've got strombolis, they've got sandwiches, wraps, calzones, salads, and a lot more. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's a medium one-topping pizza for $5 at East Coast Pizza, just by mentioning our program here. Just mention Live with Pastor Al. That's enough to get that. And that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, across from the high school. And if you're also interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, but can't afford the high franchise fees, call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. And he can show you or tell you how you can open your own pizza shop for a lot less money than the big franchise chains. And that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And they got great pizza. I know I've had a few over the last year or so. Well, getting back to our program here, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. Get you on the air here with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Wanted to give you a note of praise here tonight. Here on our Sunday night program, as well as our Friday afternoon program, if you're not familiar, we're on for a half an hour each Friday at 1:30 until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220 The Word. And we do much the same thing we do on Sunday night, just only for half an hour. And we have been talking about the military's attempt cleanse the military of Christianity. It seems to be what they've been doing. And if you've been following our conversation on this over the past few weeks, we've talked about, first off, the Army briefing that listed evangelical Christianity as at the top of a list of extremist groups, and talked about how being an extremist group, it was incompatible with the United States Army. And then we talked about also how a Southern Baptist website was being blocked with a thing coming up saying that it contained hostile materials. It was being blocked on military bases in their computers when you try to go online. And so we saw that. And then, of course, we had the story about the Obama administration's civilian advisor on religious freedom that was appointed to the advise the Pentagon on the issue of religious freedom by the name of Mikey Weinstein, and he is a flaming, an absolute flaming atheist, anti-Christian zealot, and I think maybe the term anti-Christian bigot is probably actually a better term. And I read some of his material on our Friday program. And let me just get a real quick little bit out here for you so you can see why I make this statement about him. This is his own statement, okay? And he says that Christians, including chaplains, sharing the gospel in the military are guilty of spiritual rape, guilty of treason, spiritual rape, and they're the enemies of our Constitution. And he's got a blog, and he writes on different things, and a Huffington Post article that Mikey Weinstein wrote entitled Fundamentalist Christian Monsters. He said this, he said, today we face incredibly well-funded gangs of fundamentalist Christian monsters who terrorize their fellow Americans by forcing their weaponized and twisted version of Christianity upon their helpless subordinates in our nation's armed forces. And a little further down, a couple paragraphs down, he says, those evil fundamentalist Christian creatures and their spiritual heirs have taken refuge behind flimsy, well-worn, gauze-like euphemistic facades such as family values and religious liberties. Goes on to say, these bandits coagulate their stenchful substances in organizations such as the American Family Association, the Ultra-Fundamentalist Family Research Council, and the Chaplains Alliance for Religious Liberty. The basis of their ruinous unity is the bane of human existence and progress, horrific hatred and blinding bigotry. Now, you know, that's his word, so I hope I didn't put too many words into his mouth there by just reading what he wrote and what he published online. But this is the individual that's been appointed to be an advisor of religious anti-discrimination and religious freedom to the Pentagon. And as a result of this, we saw last week where the Pentagon confirmed in a statement to Fox News that soldiers could be prosecuted for promoting their faith. And they said religious prosecution is not permitted within the Department of Defense. Court martials and non-judicial punishments are decided on a case-by-case basis. And that's where I made the statement last Friday that we see that the Christians in the military apparently are being pushed down the path that the homosexuals have been brought up along. Homosexuals, of course, went from not being allowed to serve in the military to don't ask, don't tell, not being allowed to serve openly, to now they can serve openly. Well, that's exactly what we're doing to Christians, it seemed like, in the military, going from serving openly to don't ask, don't tell, and then eventually Christians won't be allowed to serve in the military. Well, enough fuss was made, and I don't think it was our program that did it, but enough fuss was made and enough members of Congress have been looking into this that the Pentagon at the end of the week backpedaled, and they announced that they have backpedaled on this issue. Instead of saying that religious proselytization is not permitted in the Department of Defense, they're now saying that military members who want to talk about their faith with other members have every right to do so. And they said, quote, members of our military should not be denied the very freedoms they fight to defend. Freedom of religion and speech are paramount among those freedoms. And that's absolutely true. That's the legal counsel, ADF legal counsel Joshua LaRue, and he said we appreciate the Pentagon's clarification, but little or no evidence exists of coercive proselytization in the military. So we're still troubled over what motivated the original comments. Well, I would suggest that some of what motivated the original comments was Mikey Weinstein, the civilian advisor to the military on religious freedom and such. And so praise the Lord, we had a bit of a victory there, and that's an encouraging thing. But we don't want to rest on our laurels. Remember, somebody once said that eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. And so we need to stay active. We need to stay in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ who serve in the military, either as chaplains or just members of the military. I have no doubt that we're going to see the day, if we're not seeing it already, that because somebody is an outspoken Christian, dares to share their faith with those around them, that they're going to be passed up for promotion to senior officer levels and senior non-commissioned officer levels. They're going to be denied the right to reenlist, and they're going to be some of the first ones let go when the military downsizes. Because if we know one thing, the liberals and progressives, they may take a step or two backwards, but they never stay backwards. They keep moving forward, pressing forward with their goals. It took them a number of years to get to where homosexuals could serve openly in the military, and their goal is to get Christians out of the military. I really believe that. And so pray for those that are serving in the military today. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And got a couple things extra here, too, that I wanted to go to, kind of changing direction here a little bit. This is an article that I found online called Censorship, Key to Sustaining Evolution. And this is based on an individual by the name of Tina Dupuy, who recently called on the government to, quote, save our schools from creationism. And basically what she wants is she wants there to be some laws or something preventing schools from mentioning, teaching, talking about, in a scientific context, presumably of even saying that this is something we used to believe, but we don't believe it anymore. She doesn't want creation mentioned in any way, shape, or form in the schools. And, you know, this is a technique that's been used. Now, I got a biology degree. I mean, I've got a biology degree with a Bachelor of Science in Wildlife Biology and a minor in Botany. So I studied biology, I studied evolution, and I know what some of these theories are. And, you know, I've not been working in that field by any means, certainly not as a pastor, though sometimes I guess you feel like you're working with wildlife a little bit at times. But, you know, looking at this issue, I can remember all the way back from junior high school, high school, and then all the way into college studying biology. We looked at various times at theories where life came from and what people used to believe. And people at one time believed that if you put a pile of rags in the corner and left them undisturbed, that it would spontaneously produce mice. And if you put a piece of meat out on the counter and just left it uncovered for a couple of days, it would spontaneously produce maggots. And there were a number of other things that they had, and this was the idea of spontaneous generation, that these living organisms would just somehow appear out of that meat or out of those rags or in a number of other settings. And of course, Louis Pasteur disproved spontaneous generation, but we studied it in biology. We studied in biology in high school. We studied in biology in college. And why did we study it? We studied what some people used to believe and why we don't believe it anymore. Now, here's my question. If evolution can stand on its own merits, which I don't believe that it can, if it could, then what are they afraid of when it comes to teaching about what people believe about creation? What harm is there in the public school to say some people believe that God or some intelligent being created all life, and that's how life originated? And if they want to say, well, we don't believe that today because, then that's fine. But what are they afraid of? I would ask, like the article said, if creationism is just a myth, why do evolutionists fight so hard to keep it out of the classroom? What are evolutionists afraid of? And that's an interesting thought, interesting question. Well, I actually did something last night as an experiment. And some of you may be familiar with the social group LinkedIn online, and it's not quite the sort of social group that Facebook or something is. It's somewhat more professional. And but if you're familiar with LinkedIn, LinkedIn has various groups, as do other social networks. And one of the things that I'm a group that I'm a member of. Has to do with out at the school that I went to, Colorado State University, and it's the department or the College of Natural Resources LinkedIn group. And I posted this on that group, the link to this article last night, probably about a little after midnight. And I checked it before I went to bed after 1 o'clock, around almost actually 2 in the morning. I'm somewhat of a night owl. And I checked it before going to bed, and it was still there. It was on the group. It was posted. It was an article that anybody that was in that LinkedIn group could go to, and they could find it. And it was the website linked to Censorship, Key to Sustaining Evolution. After church tonight, I hadn't had a chance to look at it before then, but after church tonight, I went to LinkedIn, and I went to that group, and opened up the page for the group, and guess what? The article is gone. Censorship. The moderators took it right out of there, and no mention that it had ever been there, no chance for people to comment on it. Some of the moderators must have got up this morning and looked at the LinkedIn page and said, whoa, how did this article about creationism versus evolution get on here? We don't want people to see that. We better get rid of it. And so guess what? They censored it. They took it off. Well, a little experiment, I guess, so far as that goes, but interesting. But you know, that is what evolution is dependent on, because evolution predicts that things evolve as they adapt to their environment, and we understand that there is natural selection, but organisms do not evolve into other organisms to adapt to their environment. Organisms, through natural selection, allow things that are already in the genes of the organism to be expressed. And so the population that you see begins to reflect those changes, so that the population of that species can, or that organism can, survive in different environments. But when it reaches the point where they don't have the things necessary to survive, they go extinct or they die out. And also, of course, Darwin himself predicted that the number of intermediate and transitional links, talking about fossils, between all living and extinct species must have been inconceivably great. And he was just confident that they just hadn't been found yet, but there must be so many that that if they kept digging enough, they'd find them. Well, 150 years or so later, they still haven't found those things because they're not there. What we find is the sudden appearance of every major classification of life forms, no transitions whatsoever. And that seems to reflect the biblical position a little bit more. Well, evolutionists, of course, have prevailed. They've been successful in censoring opposing viewpoints. They've managed to keep known evolutionary errors and hoaxes in the textbooks. They silence opposing voices, and they also count on the fact of people who believe in creation not talking about it much openly. And here's another one I'd add that they do as well. If you talk about creation, they ridicule you. Especially if you're a young earth creationist such as myself, they'll gladly ridicule you and say that you're ignorant, unintelligent, uneducated, closed-minded, and on and on and on. And in reality, they seem to be the more closed-minded and the more uneducated. They're very one-sided. in their positions. Well, censorship, the key to sustaining evolution, I certainly agree with that. And I always like to remind what my one forest biology professor said at Colorado State University. He said, "I choose to believe in evolution because the only other alternative is special creation, and I don't want to believe that." That, to me, was always a very enlightening statement. And many others I could go to. I could go to the one professor that said, "Here's the evolutionary chart of the horse. We've all seen this. You've been taught it in high school. You've seen it in all these various textbooks. One problem with it, it's false. It doesn't exist. We made that up because we don't have anything better to teach what we want to teach people." And that was an evolutionist telling us that. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 coming up last few minutes of the program. We could still get a call in here if you give us a call quick. One other thing, changing subjects again here. This time of year, I get these magazine-like advertisements for these various tax seminars on how to stay out of jail. And obviously, we do need to know how to, what is taxable income, what is not taxable income, what you're required to file, and different things like that. But I always have to kind of chuckle, except that it's kind of sad when you think about it, if this is the cases that they're using to give an example. And in this, and I'll just skim through this real quick, I don't need to read the names and everything, but these are examples of people that you don't want to be like these people and go to jail because you didn't fill your taxes out properly. But here's what they give us. They give us this one pastor who lived lavishly while his church struggled to pay its bills. He served 6 years and 8 months. And when he gets released, he has to pay $1.2 million because basically he stole money from his church while the church was struggling. Here's another pastor who chose to supplement his income by taking money directly from the Sunday school collection without reporting it on his tax returns. And this here, you just can't make this stuff up. This is what he told when he was confronted on it. He said, "I bring it in and I take it out." He warned the chairman of the deacon board, "Don't muzzle the ox." When one of the deacons told him that his actions were wrong, this pastor said, "That's the way you take care of your pastor?" Well, he not only did he fail to indicate the money that he stole from his church on his tax returns, he also failed to include other benefits such as making personal credit card and life insurance payments with church funds, using a church credit card for personal expenditures, and all this. So he got 18 months in prison. And you see things like that, and you think, okay, why are they using these people? Why aren't they using people such as, say, a pastor or an evangelist that was given a love offering by their church, and it should have been counted as taxable income, and he didn't report it inadvertently? Why are we putting people who have been stealing robbing the church blind? Here's another guy, 15 months in prison for pleading guilty to tax evasion. He had two financial accounts at the church, one for the church personally and one for his own use that was dubbed the pastor's account. And some of these people, like this next guy serving 37 months in prison, is ordered to pay $2.4 million in restitution. And we got people that took church funds and all kinds. Oh, I'm out of time here today, but stick with us next week. God bless and have
You've
a great
just
week.
Just listen to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word.
Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.